sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, oh, why did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Time once again to settle into your favorite easy chair for another hour of vintage radio. Later on, it's Adventure in the Jungle with William Conrad starring in Escape and Langevin versus the Ants. But first, some adventure out on the prairie with the Cisco Kid. The Cisco Kid, one of radio's most memorable westerns, came to WOR Mutual in October of 42. At the time, Cisco was played by Jackson Beck, and Beck's funny sidekick Pancho was Louis Sorin. The series billed as the story of O. Henry's beloved bad man who rides the romantic trail that leads sometimes to adventure, often to danger, but always to beautiful senoritas. The early series, directed by Jock McGregor, lasted little more than a season. The characters were revived in a Mutual Don Lee version about 1946. This time around, Jack Mather played Cisco and Henry Lang was Pancho. Mather and Lang made a solid adventure team. They developed their characters very well, using similar slang and affectionate nicknames. Return with us now to those exciting days of yesteryear with the Cisco Kid. Beyond the Frontier, from January of 1954. Another classic radio moment from the archives of yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent, oh, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler, sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Merton Marr, Jameis, and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you.
Here's adventure. Here's romance. Here's the famous Robin Hood of the Old West.
Cisco, the sheriff, he is getting closer.
This way, Pancho. Vamano.
The Cisco Kid. The Cisco Kid, in our exciting story, Beyond the Frontier. In the early days of the West, the name Monte Tollum struck terror to the hearts of all planning the California trek through the saucer, a great bowl-like tract of land ringed by mountains. For Monte Tollum, a slight blue-eyed wisp of a man, was a pitiless killer, sparing no one who came through the saucer. But, incredibly, there were those who attempted the trek, either through ignorance or foolhardiness. And so, as our story opens, we find Monty and his gang of outlaws sitting their horses behind a promontory that allows a view to the east.
Hey, there are two wagons this time, Monty.
Yes. We should fare better today in the matter of plunder, Sledge.
About time to be riding out after a minute.
I'll give the orders. We'll wait until those wagons are abreast of this promontory.
Gonna kill them all?
All, Sledge.
You never let anybody get away, do you, Monty?
Well, unless it suits my fancy to hold them captive for a time. And it seldom does. Why?
Oh, nothing. Only shooting them down don't seem to mean no more to you than it would to shoot down so many jackrabbits.
I hate people, Sledge. And yet, I want them to remember me. A curious twist of human nature. At one time, I had visions of becoming a great statesman, the greatest the world ever knew. I studied to be a statesman, Sledge. Then, not having the influence in Washington that others had, I was ousted from my job and my career.
So you become an outlaw, huh?
Exactly, Sledge. Now, my sole ambition is to be remembered as the worst bandit who ever rode the West. Yes, vanity is a strange thing.
You're sure getting your ambition, Money.
Yes. As soon as the word gets back about this ambush, I'll have achieved another page in history. Get ready, boys.
All right.
Remember now, the Indian type of attack. We circle the wagon shooting until nobody's left alive. All right, come on. Get up.
Hey, look out. It's Monty Tolliver.
Open fire. Corner the lead, boys. Ah, this is beautiful. Beautiful.
Cisco think the marshal take us, Cisco?
I see no reason why not, Pancho.
Uh-huh.
He sent out word that he wants men for a posse at once.
Yeah. Then he take us, Pancho think. What that sign say in front of the building?
It says United States Territorial Marshal, amigo.
Sometime Pancho learn to read.
Oh, there,
hold up. This marshal a good marshal, Cisco?
Well, as far as I know, he is, Pancho.
Uh-huh.
Although I have heard that he does not have too much decision. Yeah, come, we'll soon find out.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Come in.
You are Marshal Howard?
Yep.
I'm the Cisco Kid. This is mi compañero, Pancho.
Buenos dias, señor Marshal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know you two. What do you want with me?
We are here to join your posse, señor Marshal. You've heard about the latest killings of that bandido Tolum.
Si, bandido.
And we think it is time such killings were stopped.
Si, stop.
Yeah, sure is, Cisco. My brother Joe and his daughter are thinking of heading west through the saucer. I want to get that gang cleaned out before they start. So you want to join up with the posse, huh?
Si.
Si, Pancho too.
Yeah, it's sure good news to me, Cisco. I can use many of your experience, but don't give me no advice unless I ask for it.
I understand, senor.
Goes without saying that I'm in command of the posse.
Of course.
Of course.
If you need any ammunition or supplies, better go get them now. We're riding for the saucer in an hour.
Hold over.
Slow down, Lucas. Better take your guns, boys. We're right at the mouth of the saucer.
All right,
let's go. Oh,
Cisco. Si, Senor Marshal.
Here's my plan. We'll all ride up to Tolum's stronghold in the hills and demand his surrender.
Si, Senor Marshal, if you wish.
Pancho, think that's a good way to get us killed, no?
Well, you got a better plan.
Cisco got a better plan, because Cisco not get the worst plan.
Pancho, be careful what
si,
you say.
Si, Cisco, but
quieto.
Yeah, what's your plan, Cisco?
Well, since you asked me, Senor Marshal, the last thing I would do is to ride to that killer's stronghold and demand his surrender. He will only laugh at you.
They laugh and shoot. Shoot and laugh.
Well, I don't know. Ain't many hombres firing on a United States Marshal.
If I were you, I would do this. Split your forces. Let one group ride around the saucer to the west and attack from that direction, while the other group gives them support from the east.
Surprise attack?
Si.
But look here, Cisco. We'd have to wait several hours for the boys to ride around the saucer.
Si, that is true, we would. But to my way of thinking, those bandidos must be taken by surprise. That killer, Monty Tolum, has no more mercy in his soul than a weasel. And his partner, Sledge Barker, is just about as bad.
Yeah, bad hombre.
If we ride right after them as you suggest, we're only committing suicide.
Yeah, Cisco know what he talk about, Senor Marshal. You better do like Cisco say.
I don't like that long wait.
Cisco know all the bandidos' tricks, Senor Marshal.
Pancho, we have said all we can. Now let the Marshal make his own decision.
Si, but Cisco say the Marshal not
committing. Pancho.
Pancho.
We'll do it my way, Cisco. As tis, we'll probably take him by surprise.
Take them by surprise? Yep. Why, Senor Marshal, Tolum will have lookouts posted. They will see us coming a long way off.
Just the same, we'll do it my way. Let's go, boys.
Very well. Up there.
Go now. Pancho, I'd like this, Cisco. Pancho, I'd like this one little bitty bits.
Neither do I, Chico. But the marshal is in command. Wear your guns loose in the holster, Pancho. We are going to need them in a hurry.
Money. Hey, Money.
Yes?
There's a big posse riding this way. I saw him through the glasses.
About a dozen men with the United States Marshal.
A dozen men, eh?
The Cisco kid's riding with them, too, and the fat one.
Cisco, eh? Well, this is most interesting, Sledge. Most interesting.
Do we gun them down, boss?
Yes, but only 9 of them. We'll take the Marshal prisoner, Sledge. It'll be amusing to deliver him back to the town, bound and gagged, and wearing a sign that says his life was spared through the courtesy of Monte Tallum. He'll be laughed out of the service.
What about Cisco and his fat friend?
I've always had the feeling that the Cisco kid is a coward at heart. So, I'm going to give him and his friend the chance to join our little band, or be tied to a tree and shot down. Well, tell the boys to saddle up, Sledge. We'll ambush those fools where the trail narrows to come into the valley.
You're almost in the valley, Cisco.
Si, Pancho. Just ahead of us, the trail becomes narrow. It's a perfect place for an ambush.
Maybe those coyotes not in the valley, Cisco.
Maybe not, but I think they are. Now listen, Pancho.
Yeah?
If any shooting starts, get off your horse at once and take cover among the trees that line the trail.
Among the trees, eh?
There is one spot where the trail widens out into a little grove.
Uh-huh.
Not large, but it will do.
Pancho remember, Cisco. But how Cisco remember that grove? Cisco here before?
A long time ago, before the banditos came here.
Uh-huh.
But it pays to notice and remember such places.
Take single file through here, boys.
Keep your eyes open now, Pancho.
Pancho's eyes wide open as Pancho can get them, Cisco.
Bueno.
That's far enough. Stop your horses!
By thunder, it's Monte
Tallum!
Stop your horses!
Oh, look, ho, look, ho,
why, greetings to you, Marshal Howard!
Santo Cisco, look at the rifles from behind the rocks.
Si, Pancho.
I demand your surrender, Tallum, in the name of the United States.
Why, certainly, Marshal. We'll surrender at once.
Either you surrender, Tallum, or my men will open fire.
Unfortunately, Marshal, you're in no position to dictate terms, whereas I am. You alone will ride forward.
Now see here, Tallum.
And ride forward. Quickly, unless you want all your men shot down.
All right.
That's good. Stop right there. Get your hands up. Now, Dallas, you and Tim take the Marshal's weapons and tie him up.
Get ready to ride in among those trees, Pancho. They'll open fire in a moment.
Hey, Pancho, ready.
Now, you and your friend ride forward, Cisco.
Si, hombre, Pancho and I ride forward. As far as this grove, off your horse, Pancho.
Patches are all off the horses, go.
Fire on them, boys! They're turning it away! Kill every one of them!
This grove, amigos, follow you, quickly!
You're passing that gate here, Cisco.
No, they will not. Down by this tree, Pancho.
Stay down.
Santo, the posse is being shot down like pigeons. But those bandidos, give it to them, Pancho.
Pancho, give it to them, Cisco.
Every one of them shot down. I have never seen such a massacre, Pancho.
I should not see it neither. Please go right. No more mercies or reason. Take that, bandidos! Take that!
Save your ammunition, Pancho. There's no sense blazing away the rocks.
Pancho's so mad he shoot right through the rocks, Cisco.
Nicely done, boys. Well, read nicely done. Now, Cisco, you and your friend come forward with your hands up.
Come and get us, you murdering coyote.
I won't need to, Cisco. Because when I tell you that the Marshal will be killed unless you do as I say, I am sure you'll come in.
Is the trick, Cisco, in not going, no?
Well, I mean what I say, Cisco, and my patience is short.
We must go in, Pancho. We cannot have the Marshal shot down and killed on our account. Very well. We're coming in.
Keep your hands up high, Cisco.
See?
That's far enough. Well, well, the Cisco kid. I'm deeply honored. Take the guns, boys. Allow me to introduce myself. I'm Monte Tallum.
Si, I know who you are, hombre. You are the mad dog who shoots down women and children.
You talk with great assurance, Cisco. But your own death may be only a matter of minutes away. Yes, maybe just a matter of minutes.
And indeed, Monte Tallum, worst killer of the West, has the upper hand. In just a moment, we'll return to the Cisco Kid.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The the sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Now back to the Cisco Kid and our exciting story, Beyond the Frontier. When United States Marshal Howard was captured and the rest of his posse shot down by the bandit Monty Tollum and his gang, Cisco and Pancho came in with their hands in the air on order of Tollum and to save the Marshal's life. Now, their hands and feet tightly bound, our friends are lying in a shack in the bandit's camp. Presently.
Well, well, how the mighty have fallen.
You better be careful what you say, hombre. You'll be fallen yourself.
Don't talk to me, you.
There is one more score I have to settle with you, hombre, for hitting Pancho. And make no mistake, I will settle this score in full.
You're an optimist, Cisco. I know you're good at escaping, but you have no chance whatever of escaping from this hut.
What do you want here?
I want to know how you'd like to become a member of my little band, Cisco.
Of your what?
In language you can understand, of my gang.
This hombre loco like a hooty owl, Cisco.
Si. That question, hombre, does not even call for an answer.
Either you join up with us, Cisco, you and this other one, or you die. Take your choice.
I say again, your question is not worth considering for one second. If you want a direct answer, no.
No. How'd you like that? No, hombre.
Hey, Monty.
I'm busy, Sledge.
But there's an immigrant wagon out on the plane. Thought you'd want to know.
Yes, of course. Very well, Sledge. Get the boys out.
Right.
Right now, Cisco, I have business to attend to. But when I get back, I'll give you one more chance. And if you still say no, you and this fat one will be shot down. Hey, Mike, turn out all the boys excepting the two guarding Cisco and the one guarding the marshal's hut.
Yeah, boss.
You ask Pancho, Cisco. Pancho tells you we in a tight fix.
See, we are in a tight fix, amigo. There's no doubt of that. But at least we know the marshal is still alive.
He get us in this fix, him.
See, but we must get him out of it if we can.
We get us out of it, too, Cisco.
Or so, unless we can get free, find our horses, and get out on that plane. The people in that wagon will be murdered.
Cisco, it's the marshal's brother, no?
Madre mia, Pancho, I believe you are right. He did say his brother and his niece were going to come through the saucer.
Huh?
Ay, santo, and we are trussed up here like sacks of grain. Try those ropes, Pancho.
Pancho, try to, but... Pancho, tie too tight, Cisco.
I'm also tied too tight. Need to loosen these ropes even a bit.
What we do, Cisco? What we do? Pancho doesn't know what to do.
Neither do I at the moment.
All right, men, let's go!
There goes those killers again.
Pancho, we must get free.
Pancho, try again, Cisco.
We must do the impossible and get free.
Keep watching with those glasses, Alice. Keep watching all around the horizon.
Yes, I am, Dad. I'm watching every minute. Oh, this place they call a saucer frightens me to death.
Oh, I don't think there's any danger, daughter. You'll notice I ain't driving close to that promontory. I left the trail back there and drove over on this side of the plane.
Yes, but even so, it wouldn't take those killers long to ride over here if they saw us.
Yeah, but they wouldn't be taking us by surprise. Besides that, there's a water hole up ahead a mile or so. It's got sloping sides like a big bowl. We could hold off a lot of men there.
I wish we'd taken the other trail west.
Now, daughter, if we'd taken that other trail, we'd have lost most of 2 weeks of time. I want to get out to the new country and get settled as soon as we can. And...
Dad!
What?
There's some dust rising over by that promontory.
Eh?
Oh, good heavens, there's some riders. Oh, Dad!
They're riding right this way like blue blazers, ain't they?
Oh.
I'm afraid it's them bandits. We'll head for that water hole. Get up! Come on, get up there!
We'll never make it ahead of them. We'll never make it.
Girl, take this rifle, girl. You can shoot. And the first man that comes in range, shoot to kill. Get up! Come on!
No use, Cisco. Pancho, that can get free.
Pancho.
What?
Look, there's a piece of broken bottle over there on the floor.
Wait.
If we can get that, we may be able to cut through these ropes.
How we get it, huh?
I will try to roll over to where it is.
Uh-huh.
Madre mia. One is helpless. One's hands are tied behind his back this way.
Come. Right.
Now, if I can just inch myself forward a little bit.
A little bit.
Tell me, Pancho, how close are my fingers to the piece of glass?
A little more, Cisco.
Yeah, I will try more.
Come, Cisco. A little more.
See. Move. I have it, Pancho. Now, can you roll over here?
Pancho, the fat Pancho. Pancho could roll easy downhill, but this not downhill.
Come on, Pancho, come on.
See? Roll over, Pancho. Roll over. Old fat Pancho.
Oh, he's perfect, amigo. Now hold still. I'll try to cut that rope on your wrist.
Go in and make sure them hombres are all right, Dallas. They're all right.
Santo Pancho, think those hombres come in.
Oh, we will have to hurry, Pancho.
Part of the rope give way, Cisco.
Si. If I can get the rest of it.
Bueno, Cisco, bueno. The rest of the rope give way.
Then here, Pancho. Take this glass and cut me loose.
Si, Cisco. It's a good sharp glass. There. In Pancho's legs free. Now, Pancho cut Cisco free.
Come on, hurry.
It's almost good as the knife, Cisco. Look. How sharp the edge.
Do not stop to admire that, amigo. Hurry. Cut the rope from my ankles. Come on.
Si.
Gracias. Oh, my muscles are cramped, but there's no time to lose. Follow me and come quietly, Pancho.
Boss won't fool around long with Cisco, Dallas. I hear...
Good point, Cisco. And Pancho jump at the other hombre.
Hey, bueno. They are both knocked out. Get their guns, Pancho. Their handguns and rifles as well.
Yeah, Pancho got them.
Give me one of those handguns.
Uh-huh.
An ammunition belt.
Here, Cisco.
Now, down this way. From what those hombres said before, I believe the marshal is under guard in a hut just about... Hey, wait, Pancho.
What?
There's the hut, amigo. Uh-huh. And there is the guard lying just outside the hut on a bench.
Get him.
I will knock him out as quickly as possible.
Now, Cisco! Cisco, knock out them hombres all over the place.
Get his guns too, Pancho. I will go in and set the marshal free. Then we will get our horses and ride down on the plain as fast as we can get there.
Dad, they're gaining. We'll never get to that water hole.
We gotta get there. Get out! Come on, hurry! Take that rifle, daughter. Aim at that leading rider and shoot to kill.
All right.
Take your time now.
Yes.
Did you get him?
No, I missed. I couldn't shoot to kill anyway.
Oh, you better. They'll kill us if they can. Devil money, Tollum.
I think that shot made them sheer off a little, Dad.
Good. We'll take another shot.
I'll drive the horses. Here, you take the rifle.
All right. Here, let me have it.
Get up, boys. Get up.
That hombre's coming back in range again. Got him, by thunder.
Was that Tollum?
Don't think so. One of his men, I guess. Well, that'll make him a little more careful. Drive them horses for all they're worth, Alice. We're getting near that water hole. If we can get there, we can hold them off. For a little while, anyway.
Oh, we're almost there. Oh, why don't they let us alone?
Oh, good girl. That's the way to drive. Take them right down over the bank, Alice.
Steady, boys. Yeah. Steady. Whoa.
Alice, take this other rifle and get to the other side of the bank. Quick.
All right, Dad.
Coyotes, the blasted coyotes.
There are those banderos, Pancho. Look, they're riding in a circle around the water hole and shooting.
I see the top of a covered wagon, Cisco.
Those buzzards. They will pay for these.
It's my brother Joe, Cisco. Shoulders places. It's Joe and Alice.
See, up, Gabba.
Go. But look, Cisco, we'll be riding right into him.
See, si, Senor Marshal.
That's just plain crazy. We'd better stop and reconnoiter.
There's not time for that. Our best chance is to ride right into them. Gabba, up, Gabba.
Yes, you know what you're doing, Cisco.
Get him! All I want to do is get my hands on that devil of a Monte Carlo.
They see us, Cisco. They look this way.
Get your guns ready. Open up on them.
Watch, boys. This is Cisco Kid. I will get up myself.
That's poor shooting, hombre. You will have no chance to shoot again. I will drive you to the ground and...
Oh, look out.
Well, we can send you watching for all. Now we will see.
Run, you coyotes. Run. He'll gun you down, you devils.
You're too small to fight with Tullum. At least I can shake you until your teeth rattle in your head.
Easy, Cisco. That's enough.
You worrying pack rat. That's all I can do to keep from choking the breath out of you. Give me those guns. Now, call off your banderos. Call them off quickly.
All right, boys. Hold your fire. That's enough. Hold your fire.
Cisco, all the hombres run away like a rabbit. We chase them, Cisco, no?
No. Let them go, Pancho. We have the one we want. Get the rest of them later.
Alice, Joe, you all right?
Yes.
We're all right. That snake Tollum ain't gonna be.
Thank goodness you got here when you did.
Let me get my hands on him, partner. I'll tear him to pieces, slow.
Oh, it's a mad, Senor Cisco.
No, Senor. I understand how you feel. I feel the same way. But we will let the law deal with Marty Tallum. And do not mistake, the law will deal with him.
Oh, if you hadn't reached us when you did, Cisco.
Think no more about it, Senorita. Good fortune sent us your way in time. That is all that counts.
And you've really rounded up the rest of that gang.
Si. Everyone in the town turned out to make up the next posse. Those bandidos without their leader had no chance.
And of course, the posse had the Cisco Kid as leader.
No, Senorita. Your uncle, the marshal, rode at the head of the posse.
Yes, I know. Taking orders from you.
Taking suggestions from me, Senorita.
Oh, all right, then. Have it your own way. But I know better. I also know something else.
Yeah? What is that?
That I'm going to kiss you, Cisco.
Oh?
Yes, Cisco. Right now. Oh, Cisco.
Oh, Senorita.
Cisco.
Si, Pancho.
It's a good thing that bandido Tallum now in the jail.
Si, it's a very good thing, amigo. Now travelers can ride this trail without fear of being killed.
Si. They not could sleep going on this trail.
It's true, they could not. They had to keep their eyes open all the time.
That's like Pancho's Uncle Jose, Cisco. Pancho's Uncle Jose keep his eyes open all the time.
Your Uncle Jose?
Yeah. And Pancho tell you, Cisco, about Uncle Jose. Uncle Jose not able to sleep.
Oh, si, you told me your Uncle Jose had insomnia.
See, he got insomnia, not able to sleep.
But I thought your Uncle Jose had been cured of that insomnia.
Uncle Jose all cured, Cisco. Now he's just not able to sleep.
But if he was cured of his insomnia, of course he can't sleep.
No, Uncle Jose not can sleep, Cisco.
I do not understand how that can be. You say he is cured of his insomnia?
Oh, see, all cured, Cisco. But now Uncle Jose stay awake all night thinking about how he once not able to go to sleep.
Oh, Pancho!
Oh, Cisco!
And so ends another exciting adventure with O. Henry's famous Robin Hood of the West, the Cisco Kid. Be sure to listen again for another thrilling adventure of the Cisco Kid. Cisco Kid was played by Jack Mather. Pancho by Harry Lang.
From January of 1954, it's been Cisco Kid with Beyond the Frontier. In a moment, William Conrad starring in Escape with Langevin versus the Ants from May of 1948, as this edition of Yesteryear continues.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Escape, radio's greatest series of high adventure, began its run on CBS in July of 1947. Shifted here and there, often used as a summer replacement for such programs as Suspense, Escape, with its small, sustaining budget, didn't have the higher-priced film stars who often appeared on Suspense, but instead, a steady group of radio's old pros put the series together. In its early days, Escape took stories from the classics of adventure, from Joseph Conrad and H. Rider Haggard and Alan Poe. Later, original scripts were used, but Escape was still doing well-known adaptations. Many of the stories dramatized on Escape later became classics redone on Suspense. The producer-director for much of the run was the talented Norman MacDonald. The program continued until September of 1954. Return with us now to those exciting days of yesteryear with William Conrad starring in Escape and Langevin versus the Ants from May of 1948. Another classic program from the radio vault of yesteryear.
escape.
You are located on a remote plantation in the crawling Amazon jungle, and an immense army of ravenous ants is closing in on you, swarming in to eat you alive. A deadly black army from which there is no escape.
Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure.
Tonight, at the request of many of our listeners, we bring you a repeat performance of one of the most gripping escape stories. Tonight, we escape to the Amazon jungle and to a creeping, crawling terror, as Carl Stephenson told it in his famous story, Leiningen versus the Ants.
I first met Leiningen while performing my duty as district commissioner. As my boat neared his plantation landing, I saw him upon the riverbank regarding me with mild interest. A great hulk of a man with bristling gray hair, bulky nose, and pale eyes. His entire appearance somehow suggested an aging and shabby eagle. He escorted me to the terrace and had drinks brought. I came quickly to the point of my visit and issued my warning. Leiningen puffed placidly at a huge cigar and listened as I said, "And unless they alter their course, and there's no reason why they should, they'll reach your plantation in 2 days at the latest."
Well, Commissioner, it was decent of you paddling all this way just to give me the tip. But a herd of crocodiles couldn't drive me from this plantation of mine.
No, no, you do not understand at all. These aren't creatures you can fight. They're an elemental force, a gigantic catastrophe. 10 miles long, 2 miles wide, ants, nothing but ants, and each one as big as your thumb. Unless you clear out at once, there'll be nothing left of you but a skeleton picked as clean as your own plantation will be.
I'm not an old woman, Commissioner. I'm not going to make a run for it just because trouble's on the way.
But it isn't just trouble.
And don't think I'm the kind of fathead who tries to beat off lightning with my fists, either. I've got a better weapon, Commissioner. Intelligence. With me, the brain isn't just a second appendix. I know what it's there for.
But can't I make you understand the hideous...
Commissioner, all my life I have lived by one motto. The human brain needs only to become fully aware of its power to conquer even the elements.
Leonard, you are a madman. I've done my best. Your obstinacy is endangering not only your own life, but the lives of your 400 workers. You don't know these ants. I tell you, you do not know these ants. Leiningen merely sat there puffing at his cigar and regarding me with a sardonic grin, and I knew it was hopeless. As I boarded my launch and cast off, I turned to look once more at this madman who calmly intended to defy one of the world's greatest scourges. I felt a sudden resentment toward him, yet with it was something else. I had never met a man like that. And I could not help wondering...
I stood on the bank of the river watching the commissioner's launch until it rounded a bend and was lost to sight. There was a strange look in the commissioner's eyes as he stood on the deck staring back at me. Clearly, he thought me insane. Well, he would not have been the first to think so. But I, Leiningen, knew my own powers and was sure of myself. I knew that intelligence directed aright always makes man the master of his fate. That night, I called my 400 Indian workers together in the front of the plantation house. I saw their faces go ashen with terror as I told them the ants were coming. Watched them as they milled around muttering. I said nothing more to them. Finally, one of the men stepped forward. Blas, the foreman.
We have worked hard here for these 3 years, all of us. We have built the finest plantation in this district. We all share it. It has been a home for all of us and our families. Now the ants come.
So?
Those ditches we dug last year, the pipe we put in the ground, that was for the ants?
That was for the ants.
If we moved our families across the river, the ants could not reach them?
That's right. And you?
The ants are mighty. We know what they can do. All of us think that you are more mighty. We will stay with you and fight against the ants.
I knew that the men would give me that answer. They counted on it. Suddenly, I thought of the commissioner and wondered what he would say at such unquestioning confidence. Would he still think I was insane? At least I knew he was not so
out of my mind. One man who calmly evaluated his chances against a deadly menace, coolly decided he could win and was willing to stake his life on it, to risk a horrible death for it. It was terrifying, and yet it was fascinating. When dawn came, I sent for my assistant. Together we went to the huge map on the district which hung from a wall of my office. What was the last reported position of the ants?
Up here, about 70 miles above this fork in the river.
Traveling southeast?
Yes.
Directly toward Leiningen.
Toward whom, sir?
That plantation at the bend in the river belongs to a man named Leiningen.
Oh.
When would you say the ants will reach there?
I don't know. I imagine about tomorrow noon.
Tomorrow noon. Still time.
Still time? What do you mean?
Oh, nothing. Never mind. But what did I mean? Still time for what? For Leiningen to flee? Or still time for me to... Even as I rejected the thought with horror, I knew that the fascination of that man was more than I could resist. That Leiningen's flight was drawing my mind, drawing me back toward that plantation and death. I knew past all doubt that I was going back to Leiningen's plantation. I had to. It was 10 o'clock in the morning when I rounded the bend and saw Leiningen's plantation before me. I put into the dock and tied up the launch. Then I saw him standing on the bank above me, arms folded, stubby cigar in his mouth, and a sardonic grin on his face. I made my way up to him.
Back for another warning, Commissioner?
No.
Back to stay a while?
Yes. You don't seem very surprised.
I'm not.
You expected me?
I thought you'd be back. Come along, we'll get some horses. You want to ride around the plantation, take a look at the defenses I've rigged up.
Yes, I will want to see the defenses.
And the ants. We'll be getting a glimpse of them before long, I should think.
Yes, and the ants.
Come along, then.
The defenses Leiningen had devised were quite impressive. Surrounding three sides of the plantation like a huge horseshoe was a 12-foot-wide ditch. The end of this horseshoe-shaped ditch ran into the river, which formed the fourth side of the plantation. And at the upriver entrance to the ditch, Leiningen had constructed a dam by which river water could be diverted into the ditch. A large handrail controlled the floodgate of the dam, and apparently Leiningen had ordered it opened immediately after my arrival. For as we now approached the ditch and rode along it, I could see that it was nearly full.
How do you like my first line of defense, Commissioner?
It's reassuring, like a moat around a castle.
Unless the ants know how to build rafts, they won't reach the plantation. But this is only the outer moat. There's a better one than this. Come along, we'll go up to the high ground where the buildings are and get a view from there.
Leiningen.
What?
I didn't see any women or children around the plantation or any animals.
Yes, that's right. Move them across the river.
I might have known.
What?
Nothing.
Here we are. There, you see the ditch?
Much smaller than the other.
You've noticed how all the buildings are on this piece of high ground. This inner ditch surrounds them. It's lined with concrete.
But even filled with water, this is no barrier. It's not big enough. Why, if the ants get this far, they will...
They'll get no farther. This ditch wasn't built for water, Commissioner. You see the pipes leading into it? See those storage tanks up on the hill there? Petrol. We can throw up a wall of flame. They won't like that.
Well, I hope you are right. Leiningen, look.
Huh?
Over the edge of the jungle, all those animals.
Yes. Running like the wind. Everything from jaguars to monkeys.
Good heavens.
Remember, they don't have any ditches.
But can they escape?
They'll be all right as long as they don't get caught between the river and the ants. They can outrun the crawlers. But if they get trapped, it's either the ants or the crocodiles. Ooh. Look! Look, Commissioner! Look over there on the horizon! There are your ants! Look at them!
It was a sight I will never forget. Over the range of hills, as far as I could see, crept a darkening hem, ever longer and broader, until the shadow spread across the entire slope, then downward, downward, uncannily swift, and all the green herbage on the entire slope was being mown as by a giant sickle, leaving only the vast moving shadow extending, deepening, and moving rapidly near.
They're a hideous lot, aren't they?
Lanyard, we can't last against that. Look at them. But they could fill your ditches with their corpses and still have enough to destroy every one of us. We've got to run.
No, they haven't gotten to us yet. They never will.
The hostile army was approaching in perfect formation. No human battalions, however well drilled, could ever hope to rival the precision of that advance. Along the front that moved forward as uniformly as a straight line, the ants drew nearer and nearer to the water ditch. As they approached, two outlying wings of the army detached themselves from the main body and started marching along the sides of the ditch, no doubt expecting at some point to find a crossing. And during this hour-long flanking movement, the main army remained still. Across the scant 12 feet of ditch, I stared at them, and they stared back at me. A solid mass, everyone as big as my thumb, with a reddish-black body and long legs. Suddenly, a sound so unearthly as to freeze our blood jerked our heads in the direction of the jungle on the far side of the ditch. Coming toward the ditch at a stumbling gallop was a stag, covered over and over with ants. Lanyard threw up his rifle, and the stag fell lifeless to the ground, its agonies at an end. Horrified as I was, my curiosity impelled me to glance at my watch. I had to know how long the ants would take. After 6 minutes, only the white, polished bones of the stag remained. Leinenjen and I exchanged glances, and I could see a change in him. Gone was the sporting zest of the novel contest. In its place was a cold, violent purpose to send these vermin back to the hell where they belonged. If he did not, we were both only too sure of the alternative. And now we even knew how long it would take the ants once they got to us. Around 4 in the afternoon, the ant scouts, having found no crossing, there was a stirring among the main army. And then, an immense flood of ants, a glimmering black cataract, about 100 yards in width, commenced pouring down the far slope of the ditch. Thousands drowned instantly, but the rest began using the bodies as bridges. Lanyard immediately swung into action.
Can I help? Get to the dam, open the floodgate more to get the water in the ditch moving faster.
Senor.
This looks like a spot for action. Commissioner.
Yes?
Beginning to see what I was talking about?
What do you mean?
About intelligence being more than a match for anything it tackles. Take the ants. They've got no intelligence. They'd have attacked along the whole length of the ditch instead of a narrow front like this. They'd have been across by now. There. Too bad for them. I'm not running their campaign for them.
You can joke about it like that with the ants halfway across the ditch?
All right, man. Busy with the shovels now. Dump some sand and clods on them and see how they like that. You with the petrol sprinklers, start pumping. I don't like it, Commissioner. I don't like it a bit. Look at them.
Yes, but look at the ones on the far side of the ditch. Whole clumps of them rolling into the water. The rest are using them for bridges.
Commissioner, the water's moving faster now.
Tenayo got the floodgate open.
Yes, look at the ants. They can't hold their own against the current now. They're being washed away. Look at them, Commissioner. The water's carrying them away. We've beat them. We've won out.
Yeah.
It was true. Leiningen had won at least the opening round. The floodgates were left open to forestall any night crossing. I suppose I hoped that the ants would go on, pass us by. But when dawn came, the dark blanket was still there, motionless, across the ditch. Then we noticed a feverish activity on the other side of the plantation. Here, a grove of tamarind trees lined the far end of the ditch, and every tree swarmed with the crawling insects. But instead of eating the leaves, they were merely gnawing through the stems so that a thick green shower fell steadily to the ground. Well, it looks as if it's feeding time for our friends, eh?
Blas.
Yeah.
Have all the petrol pumps brought here and get everyone over here except the lookouts on the other side and then pass out the shovel.
Yes, senor.
Looks like I underestimated them when I said they didn't have intelligence.
What do you mean?
I said if they wanted to get across, they'd have to have rats. That's just what they've got. Those leaves are their rats.
Even as he spoke, the leaves went tumbling down the far bank by the thousands. The current drew them away from the bank, and each leaf carried several ants.
Don't worry. As long as you keep spraying them and shoveling dirt on the rats, they can't land.
But there will be too many.
It's true. Look, more leaves in the ditch all the time. Why, they'll have a solid carpet to walk across in a minute.
Not so fast, Commissioner. I've still got a trick up my sleeve for them.
The water! The ditch is drying up.
Of course it's drying up. That's the plan. Those are the orders I sent to the dam.
Are you mad? As soon as it's empty, what's to prevent the ants? Look, the water's way down. It's almost dry. They'll be able to climb across the bottom.
They'll not make it if the man at the dam carries out his orders. He should have opened the gates again by now.
To flood the ants?
Right.
But what a chance to take if anything should happen.
Commissioner, here it comes. Here comes the water. Now we'll give the crawlers the ditch a good ride. Out in the river. Look at them. Look at them go.
Leiningen's tactics were successful at first. The violent flow of water at the original depth raced through the ditch, overwhelming leaves and ants and sweeping them along. Three times the ditch was emptied, three times the ants raced across its bottom, and three times the rushing water arriving just in time carried them away. But the fourth time, as the water lowered nearly to the bottom of the ditch, we waited in vain for the rushing waters, and then... Señor! Señor!
What's the matter? What's gone wrong at the dam?
The ants... Just as they managed them, lowered the water almost to the bottom. The ants attacked. Before he could open the floodgate, he was almost surrounded. The ants ran, and he ran after. They are across the ditch. Leiningen stood motionless, absorbing the news of his defeat without a word. Then, simply, he raised his pistol and fired three shots into the air. The prearranged signal for all men to retreat instantly to the second line of defense. The concrete ditches more than a mile from the point of invasion. Soon after we arrived there, the natives commenced straggling in silently. Leiningen waited until all of them had gathered. Then he spoke to them.
Well, lads, we won the first round, lost the second. But we'll smash the crawlers yet. Anyone who thinks otherwise can draw his pay and push off. There are rafts enough on the river and plenty of time still to reach them. You stay then. Good. Thank you, lads. And you, Commissioner?
I can't persuade you to give up the fight.
You cannot.
Then I stay, too.
Yeah, I knew you.
Senor! Senor! A few of the ants have reached the ditch.
They're trying to get across?
No, senor.
I didn't think they would. There's plenty of food out there for them. Crops I've spent 3 years in raising. Ought to last them until morning, anyway.
Yes, we were safe for the moment. But the next morning, the black swarm was solid around us, and their shock troops were hard at work. They were dropping shreds of bark and twigs and leaves into the petrol-filled ditches, forming a floating bridge across the surface of the liquid. Leiningen stood silently watching this operation, and I could see a grudging admiration on his face. Then, after several hours, the attack came. Down the ditch they poured, millions of them, and across the bridge of twigs rapidly approached the inner side. Leiningen sat motionless, watching them. Leiningen, for the love of God, don't sit there like a statue. They'll be on us in a moment.
Let them fill it first. Now. All right. Everyone back from the ditch.
Lars, hand me the torch. Now we'll see how our friends like a little heat around them.
The flames from the ditch shot up into the air, devouring ants by the millions. But as they returned to the assault time after time, a slow, sickening horror crept into my mind. I looked quickly at Langen, then at the petrol tanks. He read my gaze and nodded slowly.
That's right, Commissioner. We could hold them off forever if our supply of petrol was unlimited, but it isn't. We've got only enough to fill the ditch once more.
Langen, isn't there any way at all? We've got to do something.
Yes, I know. There must be a way. There must be something on Earth that'll drive this deviled spawn back to the hell they came from. Yes.
What is it?
We'll flood the whole plantation.
Flood? But how?
The river's higher than any point except this high ground we're on now. The river was dammed all the way. It would overflow that stone breakwater and flood the whole plantation. We've got to close the floodgate at the dam. That'll do it.
You're mad. The dam is nearly 2 miles away. 2 miles of ants.
Lads, listen to me. Listen, lads. I'm proud of you. Now there's still a chance. By shutting the floodgates and the dam and flooding the whole plantation from the river. The moment I'm over the ditch, set fire to it. That'll allow time for the flood to wash away the ants. Then all you have to do is wait for me.
It's impossible. You can't get to the dam, let alone get back.
That's where you're wrong, Commissioner. I'll get there and I'll get back. Take care of things while I'm gone.
I watched him as he calmly pulled on high leather boots, drew gauntlets over his hands, and stuffed the spaces between breeches and boots, gauntlets and arms with petrol-soaked rags. He shielded his eyes with close-fitting mosquito goggles and plugged his nostrils and ears with cotton. Then the natives drenched his clothes with petrol. Blas, who acted as doctor to the men, smeared a salve over him. And finally, Leiningen was ready. And as he stood
as
calmly
stood
surveying
the ditch ready for the run, I realized this was as it should be. I, Leiningen, would meet the ants and defeat them, or be defeated by them. Leiningen versus the ants. Yes, it was right that it should be like this. But now there was no more time for thought, only action. I took a deep breath, and then bounded across the ditch and among the ants. I ran in long, equal strides with one thought, one sensation in my being. I must get through. I dodged all trees and shrubs, and except for the split second my soles touched the ground, the ants had no opportunity to alight on me. I ran on. I was halfway to the dam before I felt ants under my clothes and a few on my face. I struck at them mechanically, scarcely conscious of their bites. And the dam drew toward me slowly. The distance grew less and less. Finally, only 100 yards away. Then 50. Then I was there. I gripped the ant-covered wheel, but hardly had I seized it when a horde of ants flowed over my hands and arms. I strained, and slowly the wheel turned. It turned more. The floodgate was swinging slowly shut, and then it was shut. The water was rising behind the breakwater, closer to the top, closer. And then it was spilling over. The flooding of the plantation had begun. I let go of the wheel, and for the first time I realized I was coated from head to foot with the fiends. Tongues of fire stabbed at me as they bit into my flesh. I almost lost my head with the pain as I ran, knocking ants from my body, brushing them from my bloody face. And then one bit me just below the rim of my goggles. I managed to tear it away, but the agony of the bite and its venom drilled into the eye nerves. I saw now through circles of fire into a milky mist. I was almost blinded, but I knew that if I tripped and fell, I ran on, my heart pounding as if it would burst, blood roaring in my ears, a giant's fist battering my lungs. And then I could see dimly that wall of flame at the ditch, but it was too far away. It could not last half that distance. I stumbled. I fell. Felt myself being swarmed over, devoured. I tried to rise. A great weight. And then suddenly the vision of the half-devoured stag in my brain. 6 minutes. Then nothing but bones. I couldn't let that happen to me. I couldn't die like that. To my feet. My feet dragged myself
Oh, turn the flame. The ditch. The ring of flame. Course and ground. Only a little farther. 10 steps. 8.
Hours when all at once through the blazing ring around us, an apparition hurtled and fell full length on the ground. It was Leiningen, alive with ants, unconscious, with blazing eyes and lacerated face. We rushed to him, stripped off his clothes, and tore at the ants that covered him. His body seemed almost one open wound. In one place, I could see a white bone. Later, as the curtain of flame lowered, I looked out where that blanket of ants had been and saw only a vast expanse of water covering the entire plantation and working its way to within a few feet of the concrete ditch. The ants were gone, drowned, and Leiningen had won. Leiningen lay on his bed, his body swathed from head to foot with bandages, but alive.
Everything in order.
They are gone.
I told you I'd come back, even if I am a bit streamlined.
He grinned and shut his eyes. He slept.
Next week, we escape with Percival Wren's immortal story, Beau Geste, when once again we offer you Escape.
From May of 1948, it's been William Conrad starring in Escape with Langevin versus the Ants. Well, I'm afraid that's all the time we have for today, but join us again next week and invite a friend to listen and together enjoy more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those fabulous days of yesteryear. Till next time, so long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. The comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, volio, dodio, do.
Preceding program copyright Edgewater Productions, all rights reserved.